This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, From Surviving to Thriving, In Health and Weight Control. And the author is Laverne Dupree, and Laverne joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Cross Books Publishing. Hello, Laverne.
Hi, Steve.
Well, you're going to really teach us today how to have great health if we'll only listen, right? If we'll just do what you say.
That's it. I've seen too many people tried and it worked.
Well, there you go.
The trying, the doing is the difficult part.
Exactly. So here's some information about your book. You say this: you must take control of your health by eliminating unnecessary drug use. Even the medical profession says that 90% of treated patients would get well without any treatment from them. Learning what good nutrition is and then practicing what you learn from my book is usually enough to make you well and feel good. What I teach in this book is controversial according to traditional nutrition, which I was taught in college. My emphasis is getting back to nature by eating primarily fresh, raw fruits, nuts, and vegetables. I'm hungry already. I'm sure you know how to make some great dishes, too.
All right.
Well, tell us about yourself, Laverne, your background, your professional background, and your focus.
All right. I have a BS degree, a BS and a master's degree also in home economics. I taught home economics in the public schools for about almost 20 years. And then I decided I wanted to do something else. I was asked to be a consultant for the National Staff of the Future Homemakers of America, which is a youth group. So I served on the national staff for 10 years after that. Then later on, due to my mother's illness and my not being healthy as well, I became interested in nutrition even more so. I knew that what I had been taught was not working. So I began to search and try to find something that would be helpful in the nutrition line, because I felt like that you are what you eat, and I just wanted to know what I was doing wrong. So I began to pursue that, and when my husband had Alzheimer's, I decided to start a study toward a doctorate. However, I didn't plan to complete it. I was just going to study and get information for my own good. And then as time went on, I began to really get interested in it, and I got my doctorate in natural healing, which is a DN, and from there, everything has just fallen in my lap, it seems, because I did not start out to get a doctorate, but then I did. And then within a year after I got my doctorate, actually less than that, it was just a few months, I wrote my first book. And from there, I began to think about publishing, having the book published, because I sold about 400 copies in about a year, just word of mouth. And so I thought, I didn't think this. Somebody else, I was kind of pushed into getting my book published. And so that's where I am today. I just got my book published, and so that's where I am.
So this is much more about we're all concerned about weight, and we seem to get on diets and we lose a little and then we gain it all back and then some. This is more of a lifestyle, isn't it?
Absolutely. Because if you don't go into it with that idea, you may get well for a while, but you will not stay well if you don't continue with this new lifestyle. Same thing about health. So many people, as you said, their weight fluctuates. They'll get on a program and stay on it for a while, and then they've lost the weight, and then they get off. Well, they haven't formed a lifestyle. And, of course, many of those things with weight, you have to keep records. You have to weigh your food. There are so many things that you have to do pertaining to losing weight if you don't form a lifestyle. So with my program, it's very easy. If you'll just do what I say do, stay on the program, and you will lose weight. I've had too many people come to me almost weekly saying, guess what, I've lost so many pounds. And then others come and say, guess what, I've been able to get off of my medication. Because I always tell them, don't get off your medication until you, the doctor says you can. But if you follow this program, with time, he'll be telling you that you can get off of some of the medications and you will be losing weight.
Well, that is a remarkable statement, because in today's drug-oriented society, it seems like that's all we're taught. I mean, the TV is filled with new drugs, right, to help us with this or that. And then, of course, 30 seconds of it is the disclaimer that it will almost kill us at the same time.
Absolutely. You know, you can sit down, you cannot watch television for any length of time unless they tell you, well, if you've been taking this drug, call this number, because we can help you with the problem. And you won't be having that with my book. It's, we don't use drugs, we don't use potions, we don't do anything like that. It's food, it's what God intended for us to eat from the very beginning. If you'll think back, the first 17 years of man, he lived to be 912 years of age. Now you may say, oh, I don't want to live to be that old. But if you're feeling good and you have no illnesses, why not? And as I said, the reason I like this program so much is because I feel good and I want to feel good as long as I live. It's not important to me to live a long, long time unless I am still feeling good. And there was no record of any illness during that time for the first 1,700 years of man. And it was not until after the flood and that man was allowed to eat meat, and he began to cook his food and to do those types of things. And within 10 generations, he began to have illnesses, and there began to be doctors. See, up until that time, there was no mention of doctors. So that tells me that God did something right when he told Adam and Eve what to eat.
So meat is not on your list. Meat is not on your list.
No, it's not. Now, I tell people, you know, once or twice, maybe even three times a week, you can have a little meat. But I suggest if you have meat that it be fish or chicken, because it's not as harmful to you. With meat, there are so many harmful effects from meat. And so we find that if they will just do away with meat, or most of what it is, many people won't meet twice a day. Well, no, that's too much, because 90% of our illnesses are caused from meat or meat products, which includes your cheeses and your eggs and things like that. So if we get up the animal and animal products, then that will increase our health, our good health. And it will decrease it by 90%, our illnesses.
Now, what about supplements? That's obviously a huge industry today. Natural supplements, they're called, or they're probably other terms for them.
Mm-hmm. Supplements is big market today. You know, it's big money. And I believe in supplements, but I think they have to be good supplements. The statistics show that 90% of the supplements that are taken by people are not usable to the body. And many of them are even harmful. So they must be made from whole food, whole fruits, or whole vegetables for them to be usable by the body. So why would I want to spend my money on something that was not going to do me any good and possibly be harmful to me? For example, in vitamin C, if you don't have all four parts of the vitamin C, then it can lead to heart problems. There are four parts of the vitamin C. Sometimes people just buy ascorbic acid thinking they're doing good. Well, that's only one part of vitamin C. So you have to have all four parts, or it can lead to heart problems. And then when you get into minerals, you know, they think that some companies, the more minerals they can put in, the better for you. Not true. There are only 21 minerals that are needed by the body. And any over that, any of the other minerals are toxic to the body, which means it's not good for the body, which, you know, can make you sick with too much. So they're not, certainly wouldn't be usable by the body. So we want to make sure that we're getting good supplements made from whole foods. And also processing plays a big part in supplements too. They have to be processed at the right temperature, at a low temperature. So there are many things to consider. And along with the minerals, they must be chelated and made from fruits and vegetables. Now, that means if they're not chelated, that means they have been taken directly from the soil and made into minerals. If they're chelated, they're going to have four parts of the minerals, and those four parts are also important. So you can see the reason why I'm concerned about people just going with any supplement company. Don't try to get the cheap way.
Let's talk about today's fast and furious pace of life. And, boy, we use that microwave oven all the time. Right?
Oh, yes, most of us do.
That's right.
I did learn that 90 to 90% of the nutrients are lost by microwaving our food. Now, this just blows your mind, because even a lot of health people and doctors and those kinds of people, you know, people who are supposed to know, they don't know anything. They do not realize that 90 to 99% of your nutrients are lost in the microwave. So along from everything else that the microwave may cause, we certainly know that it destroys the nutrients in the food.
What are some, just a few things that we should not eat, besides what you've already mentioned?
Okay. I like to think about the, when I talk about foods that you cannot eat or should not eat, would be, for example, salt, sugar. I call them the white foods or the ghost foods, the white sugar, the white salt. The white milk, which people are going to think, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes too, but white oils, white lard, those are not good. And I just say, you know, they need to be in the graveyard. That's the only place for them, because they cause too many illnesses otherwise.
Now, you mentioned milk.
Yes. Okay. With milk, they have found out, the studies that I've done on this, is the more milk we drink, the more osteoporotic we will be.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't make sense to the normal person, does it?
No.
It didn't to me either. But through the studies, we found that the body gets too much protein with all the milk and the meat and the other things that we eat and drink. And as a result, it's seeks the calcium from the bones. Countries who consume little milk and meat, their rate of osteoporosis is very low compared to ours. So if it's going to seek the calcium from our bones, it tells me I don't want to be drinking a lot of milk.
What about something like almond milk?
Almond milk is great. It's made from nuts. It's made from God's food, and so it's good. And so we need to think about how we can substitute things and how we can change our lifestyle into something that will be. We don't want to just take everything from people's lives that they feel like is good and tastes good and all that. But you develop a taste for these foods. When I first started, I really had trouble with some of the foods. Some of the raw vegetables, for example. But now I can make a meal on vegetables, raw vegetables, and maybe some brown rice, and that can be my dinner. And I'm perfectly happy. I feel good. My stomach doesn't feel upset. And so indigestion is one of the big problems with people, and that's one of the reasons for not eating meat. It's too hard to digest. We don't have the teeth for chewing it that the animals have when they eat meat.
Right. And you have lots of recipes in your book.
I do have some recipes that are good, that are reasonably good. They're tasty. Some of them you may have to learn to like, but many of them are quite tasty. And I think you'll enjoy the recipes that are in the book.
Well, tell us, Laverne, how do we get your book?
You may find my books at many, many bookstores throughout. It has just come out. But you may find them at Christian bookstores and possibly Books A Million and Barnes & Noble. So just check around, and if you need to email me, I can mail one to you. My email address is thriving, T-H-R-I-V-I-N-G, at suddenly.net.
So, absolutely.
Right. And the title, everyone, From Surviving to Thriving in Health and Weight Control. And the author is Laverne Dupree. And Laverne says she'll show how we can change our diet to feel good, be healthy, and live disease-free. Now, that is a wonderful promise.
I have seen many people. In fact, my book talks about one man that was in my class when I started teaching. I teach classes regularly. And he was in fourth stage lung cancer. And through doing what I told him to do, reading my book, and following all the principles that I had suggested, he is now cancer-free. I'm in remission, I'll put it that way. He is now in remission. And at that point, he had, he was fourth stage cancer, and they could not do anything else for him.
Well, that's just wonderful. And I'm sure he's very, very thankful of finding you, and you've been a great service. Well, thank you, Laverne. Thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. This interview brought to everyone by Cross Books Publishing. Thank you, Laverne.
Thank you.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out her website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski. A live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, A Caregiver's Companion, Spiritual Support for the Stressed Out Soul. And the author is Cynthia B. Stotler. And Cynthia joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Cross Books Publishing. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Well, this is going to be very detailed through your experiences as a caregiver. We appreciate you sharing with so many tips of how to relieve that, as you put it, the stressed out soul. You get pretty stretched when you're helping people, especially in these often last days or could be months, days, and weeks of their life, right?
Absolutely. I know that for both my mother, father, and my husband, caregiving lasted, well, for my mom several years, my dad several years, and for my husband 6 months.
Right. Well, this is what you say. Caregiving is a drain on your mental and physical resources. It definitely puts a damper on your spirits. You feel so tired and alone much of the time, having to make tough decisions while feeling exhausted. But God is with you always. This book is a compilation of over 90 practical stress management tips and helpful hints on ways to balance your life when you are living that caregiver's role. Well, we certainly need that, especially in today's world where the baby boomer generation is growing and growing and more caregiving is needed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's a tremendous number of caregivers out there. In 2009, AARP said that there was more than 65 million people doing caregiving, and it's only increased in the last 2 years. That's 29% of the population, so that's a tremendous number of people who are in a caregiving role.
And you write that the average amount of time per week is 20 hours per week. That is a high figure, and of course, the average, meaning that there are some who are giving a whole lot more.
Right. I think it depends on where your loved one is in the process. I know that for my mother and father, they were, towards the end, they were in a nursing home setting, and so I was lucky enough to have skilled help with them, and so I was not their primary caregiver. I was there to support, but for my husband, I was his primary caregiver in his last 3 months, and so I basically didn't work during that time period. I worked very little.
And there's a large population of children who are caring for an adult relative.
Right.
That's got
just
to
as
be
I was for my mom and dad.
That's got to be very very challenging for, as you put it, the ages 8 to 18. That would mm-hmm. be with all the things they've got going on and all their interests and everything that is they're learning, and it's a fast time in their life. That'd be very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Very, very much so.
So let's start, let's get into, I guess you saw a big need here, didn't you? You didn't see very much written about it?
I did not. When my husband was diagnosed as terminal, I was already dealing with my father, who was in a nursing home and going downhill quickly. In fact, he passed away 4 months before my husband did. And my first stop when Dave was diagnosed with terminal was the Christian bookstore, and I just didn't find anything to help me through the process. And so my late husband and I talked about it, and we decided it was something that there was a need for, and he really encouraged me to actually write the book.
And it's difficult for most to, as you put it, wrap your head around finding out a loved one is terminal. That in itself has to be dealt with, and then all this extra care.
Yes, absolutely. When we walked into the doctor's office with David, you know it's not good news when you get referred to an oncologist. But when we walked in to the office, we were actually told on that first visit that he really only had maybe a week to a month to live, unless perhaps the chemo was somewhat successful. And indeed, he managed to survive for 6 months, but that's a very tough diagnosis to wrap your head around. And he had really never been sick before, so it was unfathomable to find out that somebody that had been very robust and much the picture of health was all of a sudden terminal.
Well, let's talk about some of these tips and helpful hints of how we can deal with all this added pressure of life. And, of course, and often it's so emotional, not just the physical, and the two combined mm-hmm. can be devastating.
Yeah, it is. I turned to God. One of the things that I did was to read the book of Job, and very much took my lead from him. One of the things that he did throughout all his trials and tribulations was to never curse God, but to praise him, and even through the loss of his children and all of his wealth and all of his possessions, was to still stay faithful to God. And that was one of the things that I wanted to be sure that I did throughout the journey. And so to be sure that I maintained that faith, and to meditate and to pray and to stay focused. Proverbs 24:14 says to know also that wisdom is sweet to your soul, and if you find it, there's a future hope for you, and that your hope will not be cut off. And so I wanted to make sure that I stayed focused. And my church group was very, very helpful throughout the whole process. They were wonderful support. And so one of the stress tips is to be sure that you do pray, and that you do read the Bible and find solace in the good book, and that you also gather the troops around you, that you ask friends for help. I think a lot of people shy away from that. They think that they're being an imposition, but actually your friends want to help you. They just don't always know what to do. There's a great support online called Caring Bridge, and that's a good place to post information about what's going on with your loved one, and to actually set up information and to ask for help. Our church does what they call a food train, and they will actually very happily help support you with food and meals if you ask. But you have to ask, and a lot of times people just don't want to. But not to be so proud as to not ask. And so that's something to keep in mind when you're wanting to help yourself with stress, is to let people in, let people help.
Well, here's some of your chapter titles. One is exercise. You have one, eating right, and then laugh it up. Focus on the present, adjust your attitude, get focused, preparing for the long haul. And you have one that is looks like it's just packed with little tips and hints called Stress Buster Basics. Let's talk about a few of those. Sleep soothes the soul. We somehow have to get our sleep through in the midst of all this.
You do. Most people today are only getting 6 hours or less of sleep, and that makes you sleep deprived. And when you're sleep deprived, you're grumpy. When you're grumpy, it's very hard to take your caregiver role and deal with other people being grumpy. And the person that you're taking care of is often grumpy. I know my mother had a pretty short temper and a wicked tongue to go with it, and she had dementia. And so when you've got dementia, you often don't even remember that the person came to visit you. And so, you know, she would call you, just have gotten home from being there, and she'd call you and you know, kind of read you the riot act for the fact that you hadn't been there in, you know, 2 days, and yet you'd just come home from being there. And if you were sleep deprived, that was really hard to take. So, you know, you needed to be able to laugh that off, but if you didn't have enough sleep, that was really hard to do.
I guess that's why you have another heading called power naps.
Yeah, even a 20-minute nap can really help restore you. And so you may not be able to get that 8 hours sleep if you're caregiving for someone who needs, you know, there in David's last couple of weeks, he needed medicine every 2 hours. Well, if you're waking up every 2 hours to give him medicine, obviously you're not getting a full 8 hours sleep at night. But a 20-minute power nap can really help you. And then you have to learn to kind of sleep when they're sleeping. Almost like back when you had a baby. So if you can sleep when they're sleeping, that can really be very helpful.
Aromatherapy.
Yeah, there's vanilla and lavender are scents that are very calming, and they can be very helpful to you. Peppermint is a scent that can be very stimulating, and so if you need to perk back up, you can have some peppermint smells, and that can help you tremendously.
And just what every woman loves, and maybe it's good for men too, bubble baths bathe you in bliss.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think guys want to admit it, but it's good for everybody. Yeah. You know, put some romantic music on, some jazz or some classical music. Put some candles on and let the bubbles kind of float you away. Even if you just spend 20 minutes in the bubble bath, you can be very relaxed and it's very calming. And so it's something that can relax you tremendously. It relaxes your muscles, and then you can actually use the aromatherapy at the same time and have a get a double bang for your buck there.
And then massage magic added to it.
Absolutely. Massages have been proven to help medicinally. They actually, a good massage can actually release a lot of toxins into your lymph system. And so if you will drink the 8 glasses of water that they recommend after, you know, that couple of hours after you've had a massage, it can really clear a lot of toxins from your system. And so not only does it feel wonderful during the time that you're having the massage, it is actually very medically sound for you. A lot of cancer patients have it recommended to them because it's good therapy in the long run. And if you can't afford a more of a traditional massage, a lot of larger cities, and even Topeka's got one, and we're pretty small, have schools where people are learning to become masseuses, and you can frequently get one at a lesser cost. Or you can, if you've got a spouse, you can get your spouse to do one for you for free.
What's a 3-minute vacation?
A 3-minute vacation is having a favorite song that reminds you of a place that you've been on vacation, and then pulling out the pictures from when you went on that vacation and kind of letting yourself go back on that vacation. So if you love Jamaica, pulling out a reggae song and the pictures of Jamaica and floating away back to Jamaica for 3 minutes. It just lets you kind of be back in that moment so you can relax and enjoy it again.
And curl up with a good book.
Absolutely. Everybody's got kind of a favorite genre. I enjoy sci-fi. It not only takes you away, it takes you out of this galaxy. So you can enjoy escapism through a good book. If you like romantic comedies, you can do that. Whatever it is that you happen to enjoy, whether it's cowboys or romance, whatever. Just take 30 minutes and read a little bit, or take an hour and read. But enjoy that.
And what would be most challenging in these kinds of moments with loved ones who are struggling so much? You emphasize in this chapter, laugh it up.
Absolutely. But you can still have fun, and you can enjoy it even with your loved one. You know, my dad was a good example. He was mostly blind and couldn't walk anymore. He was in a wheelchair. But we really enjoyed watching some TV shows in the evening. I would go by the nursing home every night on my way home from work, and he and I would watch a couple of shows together and talk about the day. And bless his heart, he would have watched CNN some so he could talk about current events. And we would just enjoy some time together. Usually I'd spend 30 minutes to an hour and a half with him, kind of depending on the day. And we would laugh and cut up and just enjoy one another's company. And it was a good time with him. And so you can still, even though the person's not in the best of shape necessarily, you can still enjoy that. With Dave, the kids were very good about making trips out to Topeka when he was ill. And we tried to have lunches and dinners out on the balcony, our deck kind of area. And the grandkids came and enjoyed Grandpapa's company, and we laughed as much as we could. We had a 60th birthday party for him, and he did a reverse birthday where he gave everybody gifts instead of them giving him gifts. And it was very powerful because he knew he was passing away, and he actually did pass away 3 weeks later. But it was really neat for him to have given people special gifts during that time period.
And these must work because you ran a successful business as well as being this caregiver through many, many years. So it's a balancing act. It's not an easy one, but these 90 practical stress management tips and helpful hints seem to be the way to go. So congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you. I just hope that they can help other people cope a little bit better through a very stressful time period.
This is Cynthia Stotler, and her book is A Caregiver's Companion, Spiritual Support for the Stressed Out Soul. Cynthia, tell us how to get your book.
You can order it on Amazon.com, Crossbooks.com, or BarnesandNoble.com.
Well, thank you, Cynthia. Thanks for being with us on Indie Book Publishing. And this interview has been brought to everyone by Crossbooks Publishing. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Want to be challenged in a powerful way to leap beyond what you think is possible? Then join us Mondays for the Leah Jansen Show, every Monday at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com with Leah Jansen. Listen live as life coach Leah uses her coaching skills to give you the tools you need to take action and create momentum. You are encouraged to call in and share your greatest fears, challenges, and obstacles, and then listen as Leah obliterates those barriers to success. For more on Leah and the show, check out her website, LeahJansen.com. That's Leah, LeahJansen.com. Spend 1 hour with Leah, and you'll be captivated by her energy, enthusiasm, and magnetism. You'll quickly become addicted to her positive attitude and make-it-happen mentality. Ready for a life-changing, mood-altering show? Then get ready for Leah Jansen and listen live to The Leah Jansen Show every Monday morning at 10 a.m., 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, He Chose Joy, the story of Matthew Medcalf. And the author is Dan Medcalf, his father. And Dan joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Westbow Press. Hello, Dan.
Hello, how are you?
The story of Matthew Medcalf, your son, diagnosed with cancer when he's 3 years old and then passes away at 12 and a half. Obviously, this is a very sobering story, but at the same time, a story of victory, you say, a story of faith. A story of your son's great courage and great understanding. We salute him, and we salute you for writing this book, because I'm sure you have a desire not only to pay tribute to your son, but to help others who may go through the same thing?
Exactly.
Well, let's go back. Let's go back. Dan, take us back to, when was it? He was 3 years of age, what, 1994?
Yes, October of 94.
You first learned that he has what?
At that time, it was advanced lymphoma leukemia.
And how, I mean, that here he is, just a little boy. How did that hit you? I mean, it's got to hit you like a ton of bricks, but how did you deal with it?
Well, you know, it's funny how God's timing, you know. That weekend, I had been at the Truck Stop Ministries reunion down in Jackson, Georgia. It's a ministry there founded by Joe Hunter and his wife. And they have a three-day get-together and singing and just fellowshipping. And it had been an absolutely fantastic weekend. I mean, I was just so high. And the next night, I was in Macon, Georgia, waiting to load the next morning. And my wife calls me and gives me the news. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I fell on the floor and cried and begged God to heal him.
And surely he'd get better.
Right. At that time, I know things changed so much in cancer treatment, but at that time he only had a 40% chance of survival. But he did. And he wasn't hardly out of the woods from the first 3 year, I think 39 months treatment when he relapsed in 1998. And it's funny, you know, you go through life thinking that it always happens to the other guy, but we were the other guy three times.
You call this a story of victory. How do you say that?
I say that because I know I have people who have lost a child without knowing God. And have gone to drugs, alcohol, and even suicide. 85% of marriages in this country that lose a child end in divorce. And we made it. And it's just because of God. I mean, if I was to tell you that I never thought about walking away, I'd be a liar.
Well, we can't even begin to imagine what you've gone through and what little Matthew went through. You call him, you describe Matthew that he had the heart of a lion. Now, help us understand.
Well, that was actually Sam Cook's description of him.
Okay.
Sam was a runner and a teacher at one of the local high schools, but he went to our church. And if I was unable to be home for the Relay for Life event, Sam would go with Matthew and fill in for me. And he was always amazed at how Matthew just... He never had a bad day. He was competition was everything to him. You know, he loved football, and he loved the Relay for Life events. And he just, you know, Matthew was confident in his faith. You know, secure in his faith that no matter what, he knew where he was going.
So you were by his side through these 9 years, going through these incredible, beyond comprehension experiences, challenges, all these treatments and all this bad news. Maybe you can give us a little insight into Matthew and what does it mean to him to have you there?
Oh, he was my Velcro kid, you know. No matter what I was doing, he wanted to be doing it. And, you know, his favorite phrase was always, "Daddy, I got a question," you know. And someone said one day shortly after he died, you know, and he says, "I can hear it now. God, I got a question," you know. And because he just... You know, as I always tell people, you know, after in 1998 when he relapsed, he lost his left eye, and he could still hit 6 out of 10. You know, he would see more with one eye than you or I could see with two, because he was just so in awe of life in general.
And from a young age, you realized that he understood who God is?
Oh, absolutely. He just, you know, we brought the kids up reading the children's Bible to them, and we'd listen to the Odyssey series on Focus on the Family, the Bible stories, and I think he was probably about 2 and a half, maybe, and he had his pacifier clipped on his shirt with a little ribbon they use, and he loved to be chased. He loved to play rough house, you know, and anyway, I'm chasing around the house, and he was getting tired, so he stopped, and he climbed up on the coffee table, thrust his left hand up in the air at me, and reached down and unhooked that pacifier and started twirling it over his head. He says, "I'm not afraid of you, Goliath. I have 5 smooth stones." And he let it go, and it hit me, and I just fell on the floor laughing. I mean, you know, he believed it 1,000%, you know. And it just stuck.
How did you make it through those times where he was in so much pain?
A lot of tears, a lot of prayer. And in my case, honestly, a lot of music. I'm a big Bill Gaither fan, and a lot of his songs just hit so close to home with me. You know, Joy Comes in the Morning, you know. I played that thing over and over. And Matthew was really big on music. And when I was living with him in the hospital there in 98, when he was going through his bone marrow transplant, he'd ask me to sing, oh my goodness, Somebody's Praying by Ricky Skaggs. And, you know, I would get through it, and he'd say, "Sing it again, Daddy," you know, real low. And maybe after about the third time, you'd think, well, he's finally asleep, and I would try to creep over to my cot, "Sing it again, Daddy," you know. he loved all things spiritual, you know.
So how did he deal with the pain?
Prayer. He would tell the doctor or the nurses just to wait a minute, and he would sit there and pray in front of them, and then, okay, let's do it. And it's agony. When there's some things, you know, they prefer that one parent be the primary caregiver, you know. And because our health insurance, through my wife's job, she's a nurse, she had to work, and I was, you know, I was glad to do it, but it was hard duty. I'm not going to get graphic enough to tell you exactly what it was, but it was one thing she had to do that was so painful to him. And when you've got your child begging you not to do this, you know, but it has to be done to save their life. I mean, it's awful.
Right. Yeah, it always happens to somebody else.
Yep. And, you know, that's the funny thing. I really thought that he'd beat it because he played football the 2002 season. Strongest kid on the team, most improved player on the team. I mean, I'm a big guy, and I was trying to show him the Reggie White swim move one day, and he knocked me down. You know, I'm like, I don't need to teach him anything. But, I mean, I thought it had been a little over 4 years at that time. I thought, well, he's beat it, you know, because everybody, you know, shoots to that magic 5-year mark. And it just wasn't to be, you know.
You talk about God's sufficiency. Explain that.
Well, because my wife and I are a living example of his sufficiency, because we made it. I can't tell you how many times I've cried out, you know, and just begging God not to take my son. And then to see, being in the business I'm in, I see so many bad things, bad people, and I would ask God so many times, how can you let this person live and take my son? But in reality, God didn't take my son. You know, cancer took my son. And I just think, you know, you have to make a choice. What are you going to do? You know, are you going to stand on your faith, or are you going to fold? And I got to tell you honestly, Steve, and I've said this, Steve, I've even said this to my pastor, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd be a drunk because of the pain. And, you know, we aren't supposed to bury our children. And I just have to hold on to the fact that I'm going to see him again someday.
Toward the end, did he know that it was time for him to leave?
He knew. We were out throwing the football one day in February of 2003. Matthew was always right by my side, either holding my hand or my arm around him. And we were walking back in the house, and out of the blue, he said, "Daddy, you know I'm not going to be around much longer." And because he had been so healthy for the previous 4 years, I just kind of put it off.
Hmm.
And then in March, we started to notice he's always funny guy, doing, you know, playing jokes and everything. And we saw him doing things that were silly, shoes on the wrong feet, whatnot. And we thought he was just clowning around. And one day we were going to go to the store, and he had his Eddie Bauer on backwards. The collar was up under his chin. I said, "Son, your jacket's on backwards." He said, "No, it's not."
Hmm.
And I realized he did not know.
Hmm.
And that's when they discovered the brain tumor.
Oh, my goodness.
They did the surgery, and they could only get 75% of it because of where it was located. And 30 days later, it was a bat bigger than before. And they gave him 3 to 6 months. But he, they all summer long, if he would see my wife and I getting depressed, he would just point and say, "Hey, no negativity."
Hmm.
And he was very concerned about tying up loose ends, letting people know how much he loved them. I have one friend in Kansas City that we'd spent a couple of days with, and we were getting ready to leave. And this man is 73 years old now, so 8 years ago, he was 65. And he's a grandfather and everything. And Matthew started to tell him, "Well, if I don't see you again," and he cut him off. He said, "Oh, you will, you will." And he walked away. And when we were leaving, he said, "Daddy, I tried to tell Audley that, to tell Gloria and the kids that if I don't see him again, I'll see him in heaven." And I talked to him the next day, you know, oddly, and he said, "I just couldn't listen to it. I couldn't
right.
hear it."
Yeah.
You know.
Mm.
But we were in August of 2003. This is the last time he was with me on the truck. We were at a friend's house, and he had been talking to my wife on the phone, and he came in the living room where I was, and he said, "Daddy, you need to talk to Mommy. She's crying." And I took the phone and walked in the kitchen, and he told Jeannie, people were risen, he says, "I don't know why Mommy's crying. I'm just going to be with Jesus."
Hmm. Amazing faith for a young boy.
And that just points out, you know, we're the ones that suffer.
Right, exactly.
I mean, we know he's okay.
Yeah.
And, I had someone come up to me after the funeral, and she said, "This is the first funeral I've ever been to where I felt good when I left."
Well, that's wonderful.
Because we want it to be a celebration of his life. Because he lived large.
We've been listening to Dan Metcalf. He is the father of Matthew Metcalf, his son, who passed away at 12 and a half years of age, 12 and a half years young. Dan's book, He Chose Joy, The Story of Matthew Metcalf. Dan, tell us how to get your book.
Right now it's available online at barnesandnoble.com or westbowpress.com or amazon.com.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, Dan, for being with us and sharing your son with us. A very inspiring, painful, but in yet hope. Hope in Christ, right?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.